Hello and welcome to another Sustainable Wine Podcast with me, Hannah Holmari. For today's episode, I'm delighted to be joined by Amanda Whiteland, who is the CEO of Margaret River Wine Association. So Amanda, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Hannah. It's a pleasure to be chatting with you.
Margaret River is one of Australia's largest wine regions, and it's located in Western Australia. Tell us a little bit more about the region. You know, what kind of wines are you known for, and why is it such a popular wine region?
Margaret River is a spectacular coastal wine region in the secluded southwest of Australia. It's large, I guess, by hectares, the total region, but only 3% of the region is actually planted to grape. We're on Wadundi Budja, so it's the land of the saltwater people that have continuously lived in the region for over 50,000 years. And it's where the powerful Indian and Southern Ocean meet. That engulfs the region with a fresh energy and these amazing sea breezes that travel thousands of kilometres. It's a really special place.
As for the Margaret River Wine Association, tell us about that. What are the association's primary objectives and activities? You know, how many members do you have?
The Margaret River Wine Association, or MRWA as we call it, is a peak body for the growers and the winemakers in the region. And whilst Margaret River accounts for only 2% of Australia's wine grape crush, we have 200 producers here, but all very boutique. So around 68% crush less than 100 tonnes. We've got abundant forest. Over 64% of the region is forest. And so you find our vineyards as kind of little scattered pockets throughout the region, quite small vineyards. And so, yeah, the grapevines account for only 3%.
And you launched the Margaret River Wine 2023 Sustainability Report last night. So can you share some of the highlights from that?
This is our inaugural report. We've had a sustainability program or a plan established for a number of years now. And I guess it was established out of a conviction to fulfill our custodian responsibilities to the region and the very special environment and the biodiversity that we have here. We're one of the founding biodiversity hotspots in the world. Originally, there was only 25 and only two in Australia. There's a real culture, I guess, around environmental values in the region. We've got a commitment within our sustainability plan to continuous improvement and to leave the land in a better position for future generation. And a major part of that is onboarding our members into the national program, which is called Sustainable Wine Growing Australia. And we're working with them to achieve certification. We've got an ambitious goal by 2025 to have 100% of our growers and wineries in the region to be members of that program and 50% of them to be certified. In our event last night, which was a sundowner to celebrate our achievements of the year, we presented a case study at that event, and that was around energy saving initiatives. But we also launched the report. I guess some of the highlights were that we've already got 39% of the hectares certified. You know, we're getting close to that 50% goal that we have. Yeah, just really good growth, I guess, in the membership over the last few years. And that's come from us employing a sustainable engagement officer to work with our members directly and assist them on, I guess, navigating that program, helping them with those steps to become certified.
And so with Sustainable Wine Growing Australia program, could you tell us a bit more about that?
I guess there's three areas. It's divided into either vineyards, winery, and also wine businesses. Within that, you're looking at all sorts of areas, including your energy, water, social, environmental aspects. So yeah, it covers a lot of areas.
What's the step change between compliance and certification?
The certification is a third-party audit, so you've got to have reached certain levels and be obviously hitting all the targets, and then that's audited by a third party.
So Margaret River clearly has a very unique climate. As we all know, grapes are incredibly sensitive crops, and we are seeing the drastic effects of climate change throughout the world. How do you see climate change affecting the region? What kind of changes and impacts are you experiencing on the ground?
Yeah, Margaret River's a Mediterranean climate, but we've got an extreme maritime influence. So as I mentioned, we're kind of surrounded by ocean. We've got the Indian Ocean to the north and to the west and the Southern Ocean to the south. So that comparatively to other regions, that maritime climate is buffering us from much of the climate change impacts being experienced elsewhere. Wine Australia published some data in 2019 looking at the average mean January temperature across all Australia's wine regions, and there was only 9 regions where that mean January temperature was below the average, and these were all West Australian regions. So Margaret River has seen some decline in our annual rainfall, but our starting position is also one of Australia's highest, as we get somewhere between 1,000 to 1,200 millimetres each year.
So it sounds like the location is quite advantageous in that sense, but you are seeing some kinds of effects from climate change. So what's the biggest concern for producers currently then?
As we've got a really high number of small boutique producers, I would say some of the biggest concerns are around the increasing regulatory pressures from the ESG requirements through the supply chain, and I guess the cost of complying with those for their sustainability. Also things like just reduction in access to chemicals, and I guess without practical alternatives for some of the things, like we have a very invasive grass here called kikuyu. That is one of the things that I guess is probably preventing some people from taking that next step to be, say, certified organic. Yeah, I think there is obviously general concerns around climate change, but I think at the sort of immediate, it's some of those sort of costs and challenges around compliance as well.
Yeah, I suppose that is the thing. When you are on the smaller end of production, you have the benefit that you can be flexible, you can make changes fairly easily, but then it's the resource problem, you know, lacking, as you said, costs of compliance must be a huge, huge barrier. How is MRWA supporting its members in all of this? What kind of initiatives are you leading? I think you mentioned that you have a sustainability officer engaging with your members. So tell us a bit more about that.
I think we're really blessed because we do have a really highly engaged community that really values our region's natural environment. So there's a lot of work being done to build up biodiversity in the region, you know, around soil health and cover crops and biodiversity in the mid-rows, things like that. We've got our sustainable engagement officer who's, I guess, working with our members on, you know, we do case studies. We're looking at producers that are really leading the way and showcasing what they're doing, helping people implement some of those practices. There's a lot of research going on at the moment around increasing that biodiversity and carbon capture in the vineyards. And there's a great program that we're participating in called Eco Vineyards. So that's all around the biodiversity in the vineyards.
And do you have some examples of those case studies that you could share with us, be that on the carbon capture side of things or on the biodiversity?
A couple of our case studies, the one we launched last night was around energy savings, a lot around solar, around winemaking practices, around changing lights to LED, things like that. Also case studies around increasing the biodiversity in the remnant land on vineyards as well. And also we've done things around water and wastewater and how to sort of recycle that. We're seeing a lot of initiatives with our members, whether that's increasing their soil moisture monitoring for more accurate application of water, increasing in composting, solar, increased grazing of sheep in vineyards, using them for reducing grasses and weeds, but also leaf plucking to open canopies. Some people are using geese and ducks and guinea fowl to eradicate snails and things like that in the vineyards. Packaging changes as well. We're seeing a lot of people moving to lightweight glass. So there's a lot happening, I think, around that climate adaptation techniques.
So what about climate mitigation strategies? What's the region doing in terms of decarbonizing the wine industry?
Well, I guess starting with Cullen Wines, who really led the way, they were carbon neutral. They've been carbon neutral since 2007 and carbon positive since 2019. And many producers in the region are following suit and committing to decarbonising and taking action to reduce their greenhouse emissions. We've got two producers, both Cullen and Voyager Estate, in the region that are silver members of the International Wineries for Climate Action. So we're seeing producers switching to electric vehicles, green energy, but really doing a lot of stuff in the vineyards as well to help with their decarbonisation.
So now finally, if you're looking into your crystal ball, what does the future look like for Margaret River? What's the wine industry going to look like in 2030 and 2050?
2030 is not that far away, I guess. So we're seeing lots of growers and winemakers putting in huge effort to mitigate their efforts on the climate. I guess I expect that momentum to continue. We'd hope that the region is 100% sustainable wine growing certified. I think our biodynamic and organic certified members will have significantly increased as well. And I think producers will be implementing a lot more ESG risk management into their businesses. I think we'll see a lot more carbon capture opportunities in the vineyard, both with the vines and with the soil, and that will be a lot clearer as well. I think we'll also see lightweight glass become the norm. I think heavy bottles will be frowned upon, and perhaps, you know, we've got one producer that's doing canned wines with very high quality Margaret River wine. Perhaps we'll see more move to potentially wine in cans. And then I guess if we move to 2050, which is, 27 years away, that's a bit harder to probably predict. I imagine that sustainability reporting would be mandatory. A high percentage of our producers in the region would be carbon zero, or certainly be well on their way to being close. I imagine that we'd be seeing electric vehicles a lot more used, both in the vineyards and also for, you know, trucks carrying for the supply chain, reducing our scope 3 emissions a lot more. But I guess most importantly, we would hope that Margaret River Chardonnay still looks and tastes exactly like Margaret River Chardonnay.
Amanda, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. I certainly enjoyed learning more about Margaret River and the newer sustainability initiatives you have underway, and I'm sure our listeners did too.
Well, thanks for having us.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe to Sustainable Wines podcast channel and sign up on www.sustainablewine.co.uk to receive our newsletter and regular updates. And of course, if you're interested in getting involved in the SWR, please do just get in touch.